Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10. There's all kinds of things we could magnify in this chapter, but the thing that I want to magnify tonight is the abundant life. If you would turn over to the end of the book of John, once again, I hope these verses will just kind of lodge in our heart. John 21:25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And then in John chapter 20, verse number 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Back over to John chapter number 10. The Bible said, verily, verily, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I like what Brother Rick said a while ago. He said, it's good to be saved. I tell you what, everybody saved went through the same door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, or I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Here we go again. Look at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, this is beyond me. I mean, I know that they're spiritually blind. How in this world could you watch a man do what Jesus has already done in the book of John and say he has a devil? Man, I tell you, they needed to look in the mirror, didn't they? They're the ones that had the devil. They said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Here's somebody with a little bit of common sense. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Let me ask you something. How much more plain can he be than he's already been with? Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Now listen, now it's a little bit of a transition going on. Before they were mad because he healed on the Sabbath day. But watch what they're mad about now. The Jews answered him saying, For a good work we stone thee not. Almost sounds like what's going on in the Congress right now. Oh my. But anyway, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You see, there are religions today, cults really, that will tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. But beloved, the Jews understood his claim. They understood when he said, I and my Father are one, what he was talking about. Amen. When he said he was the Son of God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, your gods, if you called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, that thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me. And I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Look at verse 42. I can't wait to get to it tonight. And many believed on him. There. I like that, don't you? Oh, there's opposition. But praise God. The Word of God's going on. And people are still believing today. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. Thank you for the precious Word of God. For the ability to see it. For the ability to hear it. For the ability, Lord, to obey it. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. I pray, Father, tonight that we would just rejoice together as we examine this chapter for a little while. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I thank God which always causes me to triumph. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to live a victorious Christian life. The Apostle Paul wasn't saying that everything was always smooth. Because he was one that was beaten, he was one that was stoned, he was one that knew how to be hungry, knew how to be cold, knew how to be imprisoned, and still have the joy of God, that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus said, I am come. If you look at it in verse number 10, he said, The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life. First thing tonight, God wants us to be saved. And then the Bible said, and that they may have it more abundantly. God wants us to be able to live the abundant life. I'm going to give you five things that are in my heart tonight. And I may back up on this chapter again sometime and preach on the shepherd. Because I'm just going to touch on a few things dealing with the shepherd tonight. But there's a lot to learn about the shepherd and about the porter. And how that the sheep were cared for. And I may do that some other time, but this is the way the Lord's dealing in my heart. How can we have life and have it abundantly? I do believe that the average Christian, you help me right here, is living way below where God wants them to live, as far as the plateau that God wants them to live on. I believe that there are a lot of Christians today that are defeated, and they're not living in victory. And we're not fighting now for the victory, but we're supposed to be fighting from the victory that's already been won at Calvary. There's several things tonight, I believe, that in this chapter magnifies, that would help us to live that life and live it abundantly. First of all, if we just keep in our mind and realize why he came. If you will, look with me here in the Word of God about Jesus coming to give his life. That's what the Word of God is teaching here. He said here, "As the Father knoweth me," in verse 15, "even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In John chapter 18, in verse number 37, Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." I want to say this to you tonight. I believe sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, as God's people, we get away from what it cost. I believe we ought to go back and read Psalm 22. I believe we ought to go back and read Isaiah 53. I believe we ought to keep it fresh in our heart and fresh in our mind. And I believe that would help us in living a victorious Christian life and having that life abundantly. I want to say a couple things tonight. He came to earth, and he knew why that he came to earth. But you know, that's a blessing tonight. It is, just to know that fact. But let me tell you another blessing. He come to me. Thank God he came to me. He didn't just come to earth 2,000 years ago, but in 1987 he came to where I was, and he spoke to my heart. And I believe tonight, listen, that we should never, ever let that get cold. That never, ever should we get away from that. We should always remember that moment in time when the Lord came to where you and I were. And I want to say this tonight that will help us. He's coming again. He came to earth. He came to me. And I thank my God he is coming again. This Bible promises tonight that Jesus is coming again. So we can have life and have it abundantly when we realize why that he came. But secondly tonight, when we realize how much he cares. Look at verse number 12 and verse number 13. "He that is a hireling," he said, "and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep." How many realize this tonight? We have a shepherd that cares for the sheep. We have a shepherd that's not going to run when the lion's coming or when the wolf is coming. But thank God we have a shepherd that cares for the sheep. The Word of God said in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The songwriter got it right when he said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." I tell you tonight, there's some people tonight, I didn't request prayer, I mentioned it in a service on Sunday, families that, I mean, listen, the enemy right now is just ripping and tearing at that. But I want you to know, in the middle of that valley and in the middle of that darkness, anyone that will look to him will find out he's there and he cares. Amen. Regardless of what's going on, he cares. The Bible said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." Why would the Bible say that? Because the Bible said he knows what we need, what we have need of, even before we ask. But he said, "Ask, and you shall receive." Turn with me to Matthew tonight. I'll spend just a little bit of time right here, and we'll move on to the next thing in the lesson tonight. In Matthew chapter number 6, the Bible said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought," verse 25, "for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat in the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now watch this. This is the point he's getting. God's taking care in nature. If God will take care, beloved, listen, the fowls of the air. He said, are ye not much better than they? We're his children. We've been born again. He said, which of you by taking thought, if you just think about it, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. In recent days, Olivia's been picking flowers with Miss E. She loves them, don't she, honey? She loves to smell them. She loves to look at them. She loves to gather them and put them in a little vase. Or if you say it like I do, vase. Amen. All right, a glass structure with water in it. Amen. I don't care how you say it. Amen. Mama used to use a cork jar, and that works just about as good as anything. Amen. But God grew those flowers, and God takes care of those flowers, and God takes care of those birds. And he said, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Think about that. And God takes care. And wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Then he said, oh, ye of little faith. I believe God wants to increase our faith. God wants us to live an abundant life. We realize why he came and realize how much he cares. He said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But beloved, I tell you, right there's the secret. Right there's the abundant life. Listen, you're not going to have the abundant life, and I'm not going to have the abundant life seeking after the things of this world. The Bible said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he cares for us tonight. Can I get an amen right there? And I tell you, listen, just that thought tonight, he cares for us tonight. I think I got something here I want to share with you. Think about this when we think about how much he cares. George Mueller, he lived from 1805 to 1898. He built many orphanages at Ashleigh-down, England. Many of you have heard of him, I'm sure. Without a personal salary, he relied only on God to supply the money and food needed to support the hundreds of homeless children he befriended in the name of Christ. A man of radiant faith, he kept a motto on his desk for many years that brought comfort, strength, and uplifting confidence to his heart. It read, here's what it said, it matters to him about you. I'll say this to you tonight, you matter to him. And whatever's going on, it matters to him. It may not matter to many, but it matters to him because you're one of his. Mueller believed those words captured the meaning of 1 Peter 5:7 when he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he rested his claim for divine help on that truth. He testified at the end of his life that the Lord had never failed to supply all his needs. Is there anybody here tonight who could say, I failed him, but he's never failed me? Amen. I say that tonight. Yes, I failed him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's never failed me. What a blessing. A little boy, I read this story, was eagerly looking forward to the birthday party of a friend. You listen to this. It'll bless you. Birthday party of a friend who lived only a few blocks away. When the day finally arrived, a blizzard made the sidewalks and the roads nearly impassable. The lad's father, sensing the danger, hesitated to let his son go. The youngster reacted tearfully. But Dad, he pleaded, all the other kids will be there. Their parents are letting them go. The father thought for a moment, then he replied softly, all right, you may go. Surprised but overjoyed, the boy bundled up and plunged into the raging storm. The driving snow made visibility almost impossible, and it took him more than a half an hour to trudge the short distance to the party. As he rang the doorbell, he turned briefly to look out into the storm. His eye caught the shadow of a retreating figure. It was his father. He had followed his son every step. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Mays Jackson used to say, there's two angels that follow me everywhere I go. The Word of God said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like that. Amen. That father was reluctant, but he said, son, if you're going, I'm going to see to it you make it. Woo! Glory to God. We got a father tonight that's going to see to it. When it's a blizzard, it's so dark we can't see, he'll make sure that we make it tonight. What a blessing it is to know he cares for us. Listen to this tonight. One more little illustration, and I'll move on in the message. A construction crew was building a new road through a rural area, knocking down trees as it progressed. The superintendent noticed that one tree had a nest of birds who couldn't yet fly, and he marked the tree so that it would not be cut down. Several weeks later, the superintendent came back to the tree. He got in a bucket truck and was lifted up so he could peer into the nest. The fledglings were gone. They had obviously learned to fly. The superintendent ordered the tree cut down. As the tree crashed to the ground, the nest fell clear, and some of the material that the birds had gathered to make the nest was scattered about. Part of it was a scrap torn from a Sunday school pamphlet. On the scrap of paper with these words, he careth for you. I say hallelujah. Don't ever forget tonight. You know what the devil try to do? He'll try to convince you and I both that nobody cares. David was in that cave over in Psalm 142. The Word of God said, I looked on my right hand. There was no man that cared for my soul. But I want you to know he had a Father in heaven that saw him in that cave, knew what he needed, and cared for him in that cave. Oh, beloved friend, we need to remember not only why he came so that you and I could have life, have it more abundantly. We need to remember how much he cares. We need to remember what it cost. Never forget that it cost Jesus his life. Let me give you this tonight. Number four, we need to remember he is the Christ, and we are his church. Look with me tonight in John chapter number 10. John chapter 10, verse number 22, was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, boy, I could just rest right here on these three words, I told you. Man, I'm glad there was a day when he told me. I'm glad there was a day when I understood the voice of God. Brother John taught Sunday school some time back. He said, I heard, and then one day I heard. Amen. I'm glad one day I heard the voice of God. And then the Bible, beloved, is teaching us here. He is. He said, I told you, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep, hear my voice. I thank God tonight that, listen, he is the Christ, and we are his church. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I believe tonight that if the enemy could, he would pluck us out of the Father's hand, pluck us out of the Savior's hand, the Shepherd's hand. But I'm glad tonight that he cannot do that. Listen tonight, the enemy will whisper to you. He'll whisper to me, you're nobody. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're somebody. You're headed somewhere. Even if a person is not born again, they're somebody. There's somebody that Jesus loves.
Jesus that wants to save them tonight, but the enemy wants to make light of you and I. I want you to know tonight, Christ loves us. Look at Matthew 16 for just a moment. I'll go on to the last thing and we'll be done. The abundant life. Realize why he came. Realize how much he cares. Realize what it cost, beloved, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Then realize that he is the Christ and we are his church. Look at Matthew 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 13 tonight. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Let me ask you something. When you think about the life of John the Baptist, when you think about the life of Elijah, or Elias, you think about the life of Jeremiah, I'm telling you what, it was an honor for Jesus. You think about the life that he lived just to be put in with that crowd. Somebody say amen. These men were not perfect. These men were not the Savior. But I tell you what, every one of these men left a mark for God down here in this world and knew what it was to walk with God. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" By the way, beloved, that's what's important. What the Muslims say about him, that's not the important thing. What the Jehovah's Witness say about him, that's not the important thing. What the unbeliever says about him, Jesus would come to us tonight and say, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Is he your shepherd?" The Bible said he's the good shepherd in John chapter number 10. In Psalm chapter 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not one." Watch what the Bible said. He said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." I'll be honest with you. This is a truth that's being missed today. Beloved, listen. My pastor, the night I got saved, did not reveal it unto me. Flesh and blood, the preacher can't reveal it unto anybody. I can go and I can preach the message. Any preacher can go and preach the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. If anything is revealed to the hearer, the blessed Holy Ghost of God will have to do it. We've missed that. That's why you got men in pulpits today trying to talk people into something. If you can talk them into it, then the devil can talk them out of it. Amen. But if God does it, it'll be done forever. What the Lord doeth, he doeth forever. I believe we ought to plead with people. I believe we ought to beg people to get saved. But a lot of what goes on today is psychology. Just trying to manipulate the mind. I'm going to tell you something right now. If God, the Holy Ghost, ever gets a hold of the heart, you can forget about it. Amen. The work will be done. Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is what I wanted to get to. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm going to tell you something tonight. The devil wants us to forget that truth. We're his people. We're in his church. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And every born-again believer makes up the church of the living God. I'll give you this in closing. This is really what really thrilled me and excited me. I didn't make a note of exactly how many times these words were used, but I picked out a few verses. And the last thing I want to give you tonight, in the last verse, in verse 42, the Bible said many believed on him there. Verse 40, went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. There he abode. Many resorted unto him. You can just imagine that religious crowd. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, people just, it says resorted, they just gathered. they gathered. You know, listen to me, I'm not saying this to be mean, but I believe any given Sunday, there's probably as many people looking to get out of church as they are looking to get in. I believe there was a day, beloved, when people come to church and they didn't care what time it was when you got out, amen. Just so the Lord met with them, amen. I believe when these people gathered, they resorted unto him. What you find over there when he fed the 5,000, been out there all day. It didn't bother them because they couldn't wait to see what he was going to do next. The Bible said there, many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Many believed on him there. Let me give you just a few verses of scripture out of the book of John. Remember why it was written, that you might what? Believe. John chapter 1 verse 7 said, the same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 4 and verse 42, and said the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the cause. The cause is that men might believe. Why should we have abundant life? Why do we need to have a victorious Christian life? That others might see him. That others might see the light. John 6:69 said, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 9:38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. John 11:27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Neither pray I for these alone, in John 17, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And he that saw it bear record, John 19:35, his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. I believe tonight it's important, don't you, that we understand that God wants us to believe. God wants others to believe. You remember, I believe this is the cause of the abundant life. There needs to be a cause. The Lord dealt with my heart today. I mean, he dealt with my heart. I don't know if anybody else in this world is experiencing what I'm experiencing, but I was on the wrong side of it, and God dealt with my heart. Listen, here's what I'm going to say to you, and I don't know if you would understand, but I'm going to try to explain it. In my life right now, and it's been this way for some time, I don't know, there may be someone here tonight. How many preachers are here tonight? I see Brother John. Any other preachers here tonight? Any others here tonight? Brother John, you ever pastor a church? Brother John, once in a while, you teach Sunday school, and there's been a time when you did more teaching. Is that right, brother? Been a time when you did more preaching. Been a time maybe when you preach revival meetings. Is that right, Brother John? Maybe every night. I'm trying to get you in a mindset, Brother John, and maybe the church, where maybe somebody can understand what I'm about to say. Last Friday, I got a text from the man that organizes the chapel services over to Christian School. And he said, Brother Vinoy, can you preach chapel for us? I'm just being honest with you. I know what I feel like on Monday morning after preaching two services on Sunday. I know what my week already looked like. And Brother Houston, I didn't respond for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, I've got flesh. And I wanted to just send him a text and say, Brother, can't you get somebody else? And the Holy Ghost said, boy, don't you remember when you just begged God to open doors? I left that school when God saved them two boys. There's a cause. I have a reason to get up every morning. I have a reason to study. I have a reason to pray. Even though it seems like the older that I get, it seems like I'm no sooner finishing a Sunday till it's Wednesday. No sooner finishing a Wednesday till it's Sunday. And God had to deal with my heart and say, boy, the cause is that they might believe. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This is the truth. The Spirit indeed is willing. How many knows what that means? But there are times when this flesh gets so tired and gets so weak. God will back me up in a corner somewhere. He'll say to you, realize how many people are praying for you. Do you realize there is a cause? David went down there, and I'm going to shut up. But David went down there and he had heard. He just went to check on his brethren. He took the 10 cheeses. He left his sheep with a caretaker there. He went down there to check on him, and he found out there's this giant been coming down there for 40 days. And David's older brother, I guess you say it Eliab. I've always said Eliab, but I've probably always been wrong. But anyway, his older brother said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You've come down here to see the battle, you little runt. He didn't say that, but that was the attitude he was approaching David in. David said this. He said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And honey, before you get through the chapter, you find out what the cause was. David, Brother Ralph, is living in victory. And the enemy's laying face down on the ground, getting his head cut off. I believe tonight, God is telling us here about the abundant life. There is a cause. There's a reason to get up. There's a reason to study another lesson. There's a reason to pray another day. There's a reason to tell another sinner. There's a reason to stay faithful. Is there not a cause? Life and life abundantly. We realize why he came, realize how much he cares. Realize what it cost. Realize that he is the Christ and we are the church. And realize there is a cause. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for being here tonight.